May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be holy and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. I've been thinking about superheroes lately. I think it helped over the last week, my second week here, that I got to spend some time with about 115 kids who came to our vacation Bible school to learn about the heroes and villains in the scriptures, the people who exemplify for us what it means to follow Christ, to love God and our neighbor, the people who at times failed too. But I've been thinking about another story too, the story of a couple of young kids, couple young teenagers, Jewish teenagers, growing up in the 30s here in the States. They were growing up in the middle of the Great Depression. They were growing up as a wave of anti-Semitism, a wave of hate swept through Europe in preparation for World War II. And they did something remarkable for a couple of young teenage boys. They wrote a comic book. This comic book is Superman. Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster wrote a story about a guy who was in some ways a lot like them. Another immigrant, another person from another world, another person who just wanted things to be set right in a world full of chaos and turmoil. You see, Superman has a clear calling, a clear vision of what it means to live out his purpose in life. Now, when I look at our Old Testament text for today, I think we're looking at a couple of other people who have a clear sense of their purpose in life, a couple of people who have a clear sense of call, that are driven, persevere, patiently, determined to do what they have been called to do. Elijah, the first of these people, is the prophet of prophets. You see him stand next to Moses at Jesus' transfiguration. He is big in terms of the Old Testament. He towers, looms over a lot of the other prophets. And he, too, had his areas of struggle. Just a few chapters of our passage today, we find him on top of a mountain, basically complaining to God. I have been very zealous for the ways of the Lord, and here I am being pursued by a king who does not want to do right in this land. And I am the last one left because all the others have been done away with. And yet I persevere. Elisha, his follower, is soon to be taking up, the guy who will soon take up the mantle after him, is not much different. He persists. He has a strong sense of what he's supposed to do. If you notice in our Old Testament passage today, Elijah tells him to go away, basically, a couple of times. There's even a section missing in your passage there where Elijah tells him again, I'm going across to this other city. And Elisha, every time he's told that, he says, oh no, as the Lord lives, I will not leave you. I know that I'm supposed to be here. And right after Elijah gets taken up, he picks up the mantle and walks. He knows what he's here for. He knows what he's supposed to do. A clear sense of call. A clear sense of purpose. What I wouldn't give for something like that. All is well and good in comic books and Bible stories, you might say. But life is a little bit more complicated than that. Our circumstances usually don't feel anything close to heroic on a day-to-day basis. Sometimes it's even hard to feel useful when you look at the news When you look at the terror and turmoil and chaos all around us, it is hard to know how little humans can be of any help in the face of such challenges. It's hard even to know that we are capable in a world that constantly tells us that we are not enough, not smart enough, not good-looking enough, not capable enough to accept these challenges. It's hard to feel a clear sense of purpose in a world like ours. So I wonder, as I look at our Old Testament passage today, what does it look like to pursue a call in a world as strange as ours today? You know, a few years ago, I worked at a community center, a place where people just gathered to come meet friends, people who didn't have a whole lot of other places to go. And there was a man who used to come every few weeks. He came in with a walker, and he looked a lot older than he actually was. You see, he'd been in a work accident, and he'd hurt his back. And he was in constant chronic pain. And when you looked at his face, you could tell that that pain, that persistent pain, had aged him beyond his years. But he still came. He still came to hang out, spend some time with other folks, tried to have a good time as I saw him with his walker hobbling along the room, trying not to think about the pain. So he's there, and then another man shows up, this man much older, pulling a canister of oxygen, a slight tremor in his hand. He too was looking for a place to be, a place to meet other folks. And we were just about to eat lunch, and I saw the man with the oxygen canister sit down, and I saw that we were serving soup. And I realized that because of his tremor, he would have a hard time feeding himself. And before I could do anything about it, I see the guy with the walker hobble up next to him. And he helped him eat his lunch. It was a holy moment. I met up with the guy right afterwards, the guy with the walker, the guy with a persistent chronic pain in his back. And all I remember is that he told me, you know, it's really good to be reminded that I can still be useful. There is no one useless, no one expendable in the world God has created. God loves you just as you are, and God intends to use you, whatever gifts, whatever faults you have, to make the world a little better, to make this world a little bit more beautiful. You know, maybe we don't get to be Elijah or Moses or Superman or any other superhero you could think of, but we get to be something better. We get to be ourselves, the beautiful people that God has made us to be. A few weeks ago, I was reminded by another preacher that when Jesus sends disciples out in the Gospels, he has a few commands for them, a few things for them to do. Just little stuff, you know, like cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. Nothing big. If we haven't checked off every item of these things that Jesus says we can do, that we are called to do, then I bet we're capable of doing a whole lot more than we have dared to imagine. May we have the grace and power to do so, enlivened by God's Spirit, this week and onward. Amen.